Well, thank you very, very much for having us here this morning and, well, this week, I should say. And it's really a privilege for my family and I to be able to be here with you and to share a little bit about Voice of the Martyrs. And I hope you'll be blessed by what I share. God has been really good in so many ways to us as a family. We've been at Croydon Baptist Church I've been there for 40 years. My wife has been there for a long time, longer than 40 years. So, but she looks good for 41, eh? All right. So, she was a founding member at Croydon Baptist Church when she was 11 years old. And so, it's because of her that I became a Christian. And so, God has used that in our family. We have 6 children in total. We have 8 grandchildren. And we already are blessed. And the Lord has been very, very faithful in so many ways. Jess and Sarah are here with us as well. And we are very happy to be able to bring them along. Jess actually works at Voice of the Martyrs with me. She does all the media. And it's great because I've handed a lot of that stuff over to her. I'm heading on to the winter of my life. I'm getting to the last stages of work, and you never retire as a missionary, but at least I have somebody I can hand things over to, and she's my memory. Sometimes I don't remember much, and she's my memory, so I'll say to her, what do I need to do, or what do I need to remember, and she'll be my memory. So I'm really blessed about that. But let me share about the Voice of the Martyrs. I am going to show you if this works. Well, I'm going to show you a little video here. I hope it plays. Alright, it says it cannot play the media for some reason. Let me just try. No. Marissa, just try and click on the left, the little triangle, and see if it will play. We tested it worked fine, but no, it doesn't want to play. Alright, let's leave the video. I'll come back to that if we have to. But I'm going to talk you through the various slides here. Alright, the biggest thing that we get, the biggest request from persecuted Christians is please pray for us. I think that's the most important thing. And they ask us to please pray for them on a continual basis. We also have a physical and spiritual need that we have to meet. And so we rely on churches, on people, on individuals, to support our mission. And Voice of the Martyrs is independent. It doesn't belong to a board, or, you know, we've got a board of directors, but we don't belong to a affiliation besides the International Christian Association, which is sitting in America. And we have 17 branches around the world. So those 17 branches do what we do. We raise our own funds, we pay our own salaries, and we fund projects that go out. And we help in various areas. Like we just did one in Mozambique a year and a half ago. We sent in tarpaulins for shelter. We sent in a whole lot of material for clothing, for bedding, to help the kids with some clothing as well. We sent in water filters because they didn't have clean water. And these things all cost money, obviously, but God said we need to meet the physical need as well as the spiritual need. We sent in about R1 million worth of Bibles. So you can imagine how many Bibles we were able to get into Mozambique. Now, if you know anything about Mozambique, the northern part of Mozambique is under attack by ISIS. There's an ISIS group there. They're Al-Shabaab. They originated from Kenya. They came into Tanzania, and they've come into the northern part of Mozambique, and what they've done Tower was in January. In January, they beheaded a father and the two sons, and they took their heads and they put them on a tray and made the wife and mother carry that around and display it to the people in the area to cause them to fear ISIS and then to prove that they are in control. They want to set up a caliphate in Mozambique. Now there's money there because of the gas off the coast, and they know that. And so they want to make people the god of their caliphate. They don't want to answer to anybody, they want to have free reign. And so we need to pray for this. This is right on our doorstep. This is where we are. We're sitting with a situation where we have needs. So sending tarpaulins in, there were 960,000 people that were displaced. Of that, we were only able to have a certain sect of Christians that we were able to get come into contact with. But at least we've got an outlet up there, a group called Iris Global, and they're taking a lot of our stuff that we're sending, the Bibles and all of that, and they're going up and they're sharing with those that are being persecuted. So, just to let you know, there were some ISIS guys that were captured, put into prison up there, and what has happened is, Iris has gone in, and they've given the gospel, and these people have actually got saved. So there is hope, and don't give up. Please pray for the Christians. Just to give you an idea, this is similar back to what I showed the youth, but I'm concentrated more on Africa. This is to give you an idea of the persecution that's happening in the world today. If you don't think there's persecution, look it up on Google. You'll see just how many countries are under persecution. There's over 70 countries persecuted. Christian persecution happens in two different ways. The first way is restricted. You'll get a country like North Korea or Eritrea, and it's restricted because what happens is the government says you may not be a Christian. Alright? And so if the government says you cannot be a Christian, there are no churches, there's no open worship, it all becomes an underground church. And so you'll see countries like that, North Korea, China, Afghanistan, Iran, Jordan, go right across the top of the map there, that 10-40 window, they say 10 degrees below the equator, 40 degrees above, that's the 10-40 window where persecution takes place. Now, you can see it's coming down. Mozambique, it's the most recent area that's been hit, but it's still not restricted. It is hostile. So in other words, let me use Nigeria as an example. So Nigeria is hostile. It is basically half Christian, half Muslim. But you've got two groups there. You've got Boko Haram, and you've got the Fulani herdsmen. And those two groups are attacking Christians. They will even go to the point of, have you ever seen when you're watching TV, maybe you've seen where they put up these nets, right? They put up the nets to catch animals, right? And they put up these nets one evening, and then they went to the other side of the village, and they shot their guns into the air. And everybody ran. Right? And they ran into the nets. That night, 501 Christians died from that village. They killed everyone in that village that night. And so you can get an idea of the type of thing. It's not restricted, it's hostile. It's coming from groups of people. Or, alternatively, it's even coming from our own family members. In other words, let's say it's a Muslim family and the wife becomes a Christian. The husband has the right to put the wife to death. But usually what they do is they shun them, they put them out of the house, they kick them out, and they make them go live somewhere else. But a lot of the persecution is physical violence. It's torture. It's abuse. And so, you know, the difference, as I said, between hostile and restricted is really... just the fact that I think hostile is a little bit worse purely because you take persecution from people that you think are your friends or are your family, and you end up being persecuted. So we have a newsletter that we try to share. We used to send this out on a regular basis through the post office. Obviously then COVID hit, and so we had to change that. So we changed it over to an e-newsletter. You are very welcome to subscribe to that. All you do is go to our website. I'll give you the website very shortly. You can go onto the website, you can subscribe to our newsletter, and our newsletter only comes out once a month. And it comes out in English and Afrikaans, and you're very welcome to subscribe, and we will send that to you, to your email, and you can read about the various types of persecution that's going on in the world today. Alright, we are on social media for the youngsters and the younger generation who like the social media. That Jess keeps up to date, and you'll see that we post a lot of stuff, a lot of little stories. And you can also download our magazine off there if you want, so it can come onto your smartphone. And so we invite you to do that as well. Alright, this one is a very interesting one. This is an app that we have. It's run by our US office, but you can register on this, and honestly it is fantastic. It gives you a lot of very, very good information. For instance, it allows you to pray for a specific need for that specific day. And then it also gives you information about that specific country. What type of persecution is happening in that country? Is it hostile? Is it restricted? And then also, it will give you what to pray for, who you can pray for, and how you can pray. And we also have our Bob Radio on there. And you can go and listen to Todd Nettleton. He does a lot of our interviews, and he interviews a lot of persecuted Christians. And so, it's very informative, and it's a wonderful tool if you want to be up to date with what's happening. So, please, if you want to download, you can go to either on your Apple app or the Android one, just go to the and download the app. Don't type in VOM because you're not going to find it. Type in Voice of the Martyrs and it'll come up. It's free and you can participate in that as well. So on our website, there it is. It's persecutionsa.org. We invite you to please go on there, go and read the stories, go and see for yourself. There's a lot of good stuff on the blog, which Jess does. She keeps us up to date on that. You can get involved by praying for these people or donating. You can use our resources. We've got study guides. We've got books available online for very minimal cost, by the way. And sometimes we even give away. So please keep an eye out for that. And then there is a prayer map which you can download, which is in PDF format. And you can share that as well. All right. There are two things that we do throughout every year. And the first one is the Day of the Christian Martyr. It happens the 29th of June every year. And we don't necessarily celebrate the martyr's death. But we celebrate the fact that they were martyred. They get remembered. And in America, we've got a huge wall of remembrance with all the names of the martyrs, or as many martyrs as we have up there. And we add that person's name to the wall on the 29th of June every year. This is the date they think the Apostle Paul was martyred, so that's why they keep to the 29th of June. The other thing is the International Day of Prayer. It's the first Sunday in November, and that's quite an interesting one. I shared this at our British office in Britain. Remember now, this is getting into winter there. What they did was they held services and they told everybody to leave their shoes at the door. I don't know whether the smell was any good, but at least the idea was that most prisoners don't have shoes, and so it was quite a nice idea to like, okay, we're going to identify by not wearing our shoes. And so they held their service without people wearing shoes. Sorry. Here's an acronym to remember. It's called BASIC. Brothers and sisters in Christ and in chains. All in chains. And you can remember this just by remembering the fact that our verse, Hebrews 13 verse 3 says, remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. It says to remember our brothers and sisters. You know, the Bible says that we all are part of the body of Christ. And even when the smallest part hurts, we all hurt. And so when you hear about Christians being persecuted, or you hear about things happening in the world today, which is doesn't really reach the news. A lot of this stuff doesn't reach the news. And it's very hard for us to find out if this is actually truth or whether it's lies. But you know, one thing we do have as Voice of the Martyrs, we have 40,000 field workers working for us. Frontline workers that live in and amongst these people. They live there, they help, and they're there to counsel, they're there to do whatever they can to help persecuted Christians. By them staying there, they're also putting their lives on the line as well. So, you know, it's just not only 40,000 of them that we look after, but we look after groups that come in under them as well. And so you've got to continue to pray for these people. We provide things like, some people lost their farms. We'll help them by replenishing their cows or their sheep or their pigs or whatever the need is. We'll help them by teaching them to use a sewing machine. We'll provide them with material. We teach them how to do carpentry. There's a whole lot of stuff that we go in and we actually help. And these frontline workers are very good in setting all of that up. And so we need to pray earnestly for our persecuted brothers and sisters in Christ. If you've got any questions, maybe afterwards we can just take a quick thing and you can just ask some questions. But I really like to thank you for giving me the opportunity to just share about Voice of the Martyrs. All right, if you have a Bible with you, I'd invite you to turn to Joshua 24, please. Joshua 24. Thanks, Joshua, who reminded us that his name is Joshua. I just want to read Joshua 24. I know we read it earlier, but look at verse 15. This is Joshua speaking, and he says here, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." We're going to look at three generations today. Three generations that followed Joshua. While they were in the wilderness. And Joshua here, he's the first generation. I believe he was saved. He experienced God. He experienced the miracles that God had to share. And he believed solid with his life, with all his life, that God was real. God showed himself to Joshua in so many different ways. And Joshua said here that him and his house, as for him and his house, they will serve the Lord. And if you go to verse 31, it says, "And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua." He was a great leader.
all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that overlived or outlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. Now, if you can imagine these three chairs standing here, you might have heard this message before, but I'm going to share it, and hopefully you'll be touched by it this morning. Let's call this the first chair. This is chair number one, chair number two, and chair number three. And today, I think, just by sharing this message, you're going to find out where you're sitting. You're going to be sitting in one of these chairs. Chair one, chair two, chair three. Chair one is Joshua. Saved, knows the Lord, serves the Lord, experiences God firsthand. And then you have the elders. The elders that outlived Joshua and believed what Joshua said about God were saved, knew it, but were in chair number two. You see, they didn't experience all the things that Joshua experienced. They saw them, but God did them for Joshua. Obviously, he did it for Israel, but the elders saw God doing these things for Joshua. This third group we'll get to just now. So there are three things. Let's call this first chair the chair of commitment. Okay? The chair of commitment. The second chair is... Sorry, my notes are a little bit skewed here. The second chair is the chair of compromise. Compromise. Commitment, compromise. The third chair is the chair of conflict. Now you can imagine, you go to church. Let's use an example of a family. Alright, they're in the car. Let's say the mom and the dad are driving the car, and the son is sitting in the back, and dad's driving, and they're going to church, and all the time, the mom and the dad, they're fighting. Alright? They're just bickering at each other the whole time, and the son is sitting in the back of the car, and he's thinking, man, I tell you, these parents of mine, they just don't get on, do they? They just bicker and fight. And then the dad, who's driving the car, you know, he's driving, and as they drive into the church, he's bickering at his wife, and she's bickering at him, and he's driving, and he suddenly realizes that he's driving into the church, and there's somebody, and he goes, hi, how are you? And, you know, it's a different person to the one that's in the car. Then they go inside the church, and he carries his Bible under his arm and tells him, get out the car, you know, come on, go into church. And he's got his Bible and he's greeting everybody. And hi, Pastor, how are you, Pastor? And he's very, very pleasant. But what you see on the outside is not what's on the inside. So, this mom and this dad, they sit there in church and everything seems pleasant. Even the pastor, the pastor says to him, won't you share your testimony? And he stands up and he shares a testimony about how he got saved and how wonderful the Lord is and how he is so grateful he's a Christian. And so he gives a great testimony, and then right at the end, the pastor thinks, well, that's great. Let me ask him to close in the word of prayer. And he prays this prayer, man, and it sounds excellent. Wonderful. And the son is there. He goes, who is this man? Who is this guy? And then they get back in the car. And he's back on the bickering. All the way home. Takes his Bible, throws it on the shelf, and it's a different environment again. You see, Christ, if you're committed, Christ is first, and then me. Christ, and then me. This chair of compromise is me, and then Christ. Me, and then Christ. This chair, they don't even know Christ. It's conflict.
He's looking at his parents and he's going, my goodness, if this is Christianity, I don't want it. Because my mom and my dad are here. They're not here, they're here. This is not who they are at home. This is who they are for a little bit on a Sunday morning.
You see conflict. Often, the job,
money, things of this world, the fleshiness of this world drives us into this chair.
When we all get saved, we start off here, don't we? Do you remember when you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior? Remember the excitement in your heart? I remember that. Bill Mayer led me to the Lord at Croydon Baptist Church. Exactly 40 years ago. And, you know, you think to yourself, man, I'll never get out of this chair.
You do. But don't move so far that you want to move right out of Christianity. Move back into this chair. And we'll look at how you can do that just now.
You see, a lot of us as parents are hypocrites. A lot of us as teenagers look at that and they go, wow, I don't want that. I don't want that. Do you want to know why some of our children are not in church today? Because of us. Because of the hypocrisy that we share in our homes. Do you know that most churches today, at least 60% of the men are involved in some form of pornography or sexual conduct. 60%. It's a lot. Do you know that they say 8% of ladies in a congregation would have had an abortion? Now, we don't talk about these things, do we? We don't go around sharing, I'm struggling with pornography, or I'm struggling with this, or I went through this. We keep those things to ourselves, don't we? And so, a lot of the times, we don't want to go back into this position because we're happy with our little sins that we get involved in. We don't want to give up on those sins that we're holding on to. It's easy. It's easy for those that are there to say that to those people. Now, I know it's difficult to move back in. But if you're reading your Bible, if you're reading it on a continual basis, and you're praying and you're asking God, and you're doing this as a family, or if you're an individual, if you're doing it regularly on a daily basis, it'll help you. It'll help you get back into chair number one. Chair number one, the chair of commitment to God. Where are you today on these three chairs? Can you say that you're in chair number one, chair number two? Maybe you don't even know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior because of hypocrisy, or because you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It doesn't matter what your age is. It doesn't matter how old you are. I know my mother accepted Jesus Christ only at 73 years old. There's nothing wrong with getting saved at a late stage. God loves a sinner. If you come to Him and you say to Him, Lord, please save me, He will save you. Can you imagine the conversation between let's say a first chair maybe and a third chair. Let's say that the father says to the son, back in those days, he said, son, do you remember the walls of Jericho? You remember that, son? You remember how they marched around Jericho and the walls went down? And you can imagine the son saying, well, really, Dad? Really? What was the magic word? Abracadabra? I mean, how did they make walls fall down by just marching around them? You can imagine them maybe even sharing the story about how the priests had to take the step into the Jordan River to be able to go over it on dry land. Oh, sure, Dad. Can you imagine that? Abracadabra. You know, there's no reality to it. In other words, what Joshua experienced with God was real miracles. They just saw them. The elders just saw them. They didn't experience them for themselves. And these guys, they didn't even have a chance because they did not experience it for themselves. They didn't even end up believing because of hypocrisy. You see, miracles were real. Let me share a miracle that I honestly believe God did this on various occasions. I shared this with Brad and Mary the other night. Was it last night, I think? Yeah. You know, my wife and I were dating, and that goes about 114 years back, am I right? A long time ago, we were dating, and I went into Lister Building in Jeppe Street in Johannesburg. It was a medical building back then, and it was back in the 80s, and she was doing a shorthand typist course. Ladies, do you know what that is? Most of you will know a shorthand typing course, right? She was learning shorthand. And she was up on the ninth floor, and there was a guard standing at the bottom, and I went in and I said, I'm here to pick up my girlfriend. And he said, you must go up to the ninth floor. Three lifts in front of me, I get into the middle lift, I go up 9 floors. I get out of the lift, and you know when you get out of the lift and you're like, I'm not sure which way I should be going. And the lift closed behind me, and it fell 9 floors. And it smashed all the lifts at the bottom. God saved me that night from death. I was 108 kilos back then. It's not a lightweight to climb out of an elevator and then for it to fall. You know what I'm saying? I'll share another one quickly. We're traveling back now. We've got 4 girls in the car. It's my wife and I. Sarah is sick as a dog. She's a baby, but she's sick. 2010, coming back from Cape Town. And it's taking us like, I think we were 13 hours in to the trip. We had to stop at hospitals. We had to stop various places to get a medication. And we're driving, and we get a noise from the front right tire on my car. And it's going, pop, 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 and I suddenly realize I've got a flat tire. And as that happens, there's a garage. This is not the miracle, okay? But there's a garage right there, and I managed to pull into the garage. And as I pull into the garage, there's a tire company there, but they closed at 6 o'clock. I'm thinking, oh, man. So the guy says, no, the guy's in the shop, he's buying something. Go make him open up again. So he comes and he opens it. They take the tire off. Now I've got a Sedona, Kia Sedona. It's a 7-seater. It's massive. They put a biscuit tire in this thing. Now I must put a biscuit tire on. But anyway, I managed to talk to this guy. He says, all right, he'll test the tire and everything. Cannot find a hole anywhere on the tire. Anywhere. He tests it in water, they pump it up, they do all sorts. They check it, they put it back on the car. And I'm like, well, maybe it was heat and it just moved off the rim of the car. Something went wrong. I don't know. Anyway, I get back in the car and we decide we're going to pray before we go home. Because we've got 3 hours at least. We can't do more than 80 k's an hour with this tire. So I'm thinking, okay, we're just going to take it easy. So we pray and we ask God to get us home safely. And we drove, and it was into the night. It was dark. 9 o'clock, half past nine, somewhere around about there. We drive into our driveway. We have a trailer on the back as well, by the way. We drive into our trailer, into our driveway. We park the car. I walk around and I start to open up the trailer, and I hear shh. As the air pumps out of the tire, and the tire just goes flat. God got us home that night. It's sick touring, but he got us home safely. You know what? I like to think that God, I experienced some miracles that day. I experienced what God had given to me. I'm not always in this chair. I'm sometimes over here, sometimes sitting half in to this chair. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes I want to just, oh man.
But most of the time we've got to try and be here. This is the most important place to be. Committed to God. Living in the second chair is usually about success and money, isn't it? That's the most important thing. You're not worried about God. You worry about what you have in life. There's a real truth to the narrow road, by the way. All right, it's not always easy. The narrow road, you've got to find it. Ask God to guide you. You know, if you really want to get out of this chair, you've got to hate sin. That's the most important thing. You've got to break the back of sin. You've got to say, I'm no longer going to be involved in sin. You see, what's stopping us from becoming a committed Christian? What sin in your life controls your life? What do you hold on to? You see, you can get rid of that sin. It's a lie that the devil tells you that you can't. Alright? You can get rid of that sin. God is there for you. He is there for you. But only you can make that decision. You see, when we move from the second chair to the first chair, it's a wonderful feeling. It's getting right with God. You're taking that burden that's on your back and you're handing it back to God, aren't you? I'm not sure how much money you make or what you do for a living, but I tell you, it's not worth it if you're compromising. If you're compromising, it's not worth it. Rather get back into that first chair. If you have your Bible, one more verse I'd like you to turn to. Go to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. And look at verse 15. God says here, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increase with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eyesalve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. You see, if you're hot, you're spiritual, you're living for God, you're in chair number one of commitment. If you're lukewarm, well, then you're sitting over here and God says, I'll spew you out of my mouth. He says, I dislike that. Terribly. It's like the waves, you know, you knock to and fro the whole time. Your doctrine is not solid. You need to get out of this chair and get back into the commitment chair. You are lukewarm. And he says, if you're not saved, you're cold. He says, I'd rather you be hot or be cold, but not lukewarm. Isn't that amazing? He doesn't want you to be lukewarm. You see, your church, my church, our churches around South Africa, our independent Baptist churches, we all need revival. We all need to change our hearts. It can start with you. There's a song that goes, it only takes a spark to get a fire going. Are you going to be that spark? Are you going to get back in this chair and be committed to the Lord 100%? Now let's look at third chair people. those that don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. There were a few here on Friday, on Thursday night, Friday, and on Saturday. There were a few that didn't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And I know that some of the smaller groups, they got to talk to them and got to share with them, and that was great. And I hope that there were one or two that came to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have an opportunity now to accept Him. Because you don't know what awaits tomorrow. You don't know if you walk out of here whether you will make it home today. You're not sure. God doesn't promise you. You can become a First Church Christian just by surrendering your life to Jesus Christ. If you're in the second chair, as possibly most of us are, you can move to that first chair. Aren't you sick of your sin? Don't you want joy in your life? Don't you want fruit, the fruit of the Spirit in your life? Don't you want to be able to wake up in the morning and think, wow, I've got no burden today. No burden whatsoever. Be zealous and repent. God says, get right with me. That's me too. I need to do that on a regular basis. First chair people, we're changing the world, aren't we? Well, we think we are. But in fact, I think it's going the other way. I'm not sure the way the world is going today. Second chair people, they are in the world. They usually are in the world. And third chair people are the world, and they need salvation. We need to pray for those in our families, those friends, those acquaintances that we know, the people we work with. We need to pray for them that they will get saved. We need to share the gospel wherever we go. If you're a second chair believer and you get up and move to the first chair, today is the opportunity for you to come and talk to Pastor, talk to Brad. There's a couple of other men, I'm sure, around here. Some of the ladies, if you want to come speak to Pastor's wife, come and say, please pray with me. I want to move back into that first chair. Whatever is stopping you, end it. Whatever is stopping you, end it. If you need to make right with somebody, do it today. If there's something in your life that is a sin that is relevant, get rid of it. You know, pride, envy, covetousness, those are the sins that we hide inside. They're not as open as theft or pornography or those type of things. But pride is a terrible sin. God doesn't love pride at all. He hates it. He hates pride. And sometimes we are proud. Are we afraid of what others might think of us? We heard some verses that were shared earlier on about don't be afraid of what other people think. You need to do what God expects you to do. Be a first chair Christian. Come and make it right with God today. There's nothing stopping you besides your sin. That's the only thing. These guys over here, they're the third generation. You know, I can give you an example. Let's take David, Solomon, and nice name's gone on. Sorry? Not Absalom. I've got it here. Rehoboam, I think it is. Sorry. Yeah, it's Rehoboam. Okay? So you've got David, Solomon, and Rehoboam. And if you think you want to read the story about Rehoboam, 2 Chronicles chapter 12. You know, David knew of the miracles. I mean, he experienced them. How do you think he killed Goliath? How do you think he killed a lion? How do you think he killed a bear? How do you think he overcame so many things that God even spoke to him in so many ways? And yes, he wasn't perfect, but he was a man after God's own heart. And he was here in this first chair. Not always, but
most of them. And then Solomon, very wise man. But how wise do you have to be to have that many wives? I mean, come on. Poor guy. Poor woman. I've got one wife, it's enough. Imagine having that many wives. Anyway, I think he was quite covetous. He would see a woman and obviously just marry her or use her as a concubine. But he ended up almost also getting into the third chair. Being the wisest man that ever lived, you'd expect him to be here. But he lived most of his life in the second chair. And then thirdly, Rehoboam. This guy, he only had a physical kingdom for a short while. He did not have a spiritual kingdom like David had. And this was just 3 generations. David, Solomon, Rehoboam. Just 3 generations. When I think about that, I think, well, you know, maybe my son, my grandson, and maybe his kids one day. You know, I don't know. What is the situation here? Where is my family going to end up? Where are my children going to end up? And obviously, I don't want to live here. Sometimes and mostly, we do. We do. In the chair of compromise. Just lastly, let's just quickly go back to Joshua. Go back to, actually, to Judges chapter 2. Go to Judges chapter 2. And look at verse 7. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. Can you see that? They only saw the works. Like I said, they sat in the second chair and they saw the works that Joshua did. And then Joshua died and they outlived him and they carried the banner or the baton for a little while, but never shared it with their kids. They never did. Look at this. Look at verse 10 of Joshua. Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter 2, verse 10. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor the works which he had done for Israel. So that just took 3 generations, and then they did not know the Lord any longer. What example are we setting for our children? What are we doing about the youth? And like Pastor said, these are the guys that are going to be coming up in the future. These are your guys that are eventually going to take over and preach the Word of God and share the Word of God and live Christian lives. What are we doing about sharing it with our families, sharing it with our children? Now, I'm very blessed, and I can't take credit for any of this, but I can honestly say to you, I have 4 of my daughters. The other 2 were their husbands, and 7 of my 8 grandchildren are in church this morning. They're in church this morning. They're in Croydon Baptist Church this morning. When we all go away, like we're just the 4 of us today, but when we go away as an entire family, there are 3 rows of chairs missing in our church. But it's not just because of me, it's because I believe that my wife and I, We are so blessed by God to have children that are serving the Lord. We know so many families that their children get to a certain age and they just go. And they might be saved. They might be in this chair. Their children might be here. But some of them are over here. And they just don't care. Because of the hypocrisy that we as parents have shared. So I'm going to ask if
I'm not going to do an invitational type thing, but I'm going to say to you that if you need to move today into the chair of commitment, come and speak to Pastor. He's not as scary as he looks, okay? I promise you he'll pray with you, he'll help you. I'm certain of that. He wants the best for you and I. He wants the best for each one of you. You are his congregation. And if there's anything that is preventing you, speak to him about it. And he will help you. I am 100% sure of that. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for the opportunity to just share a short word with the congregation here this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to share Voice of the Martyrs too. I pray that you would continue to just be with this congregation, help them, each one of them, as they walk with you. I pray that they will all aim to go into the chair of commitment or remain in the chair of commitment as long as possible. And Lord, that they will continue to read their Bibles, to pray, and to be involved in the church and the fellowship, and to know that iron sharpeneth iron, and that, you know, each one of us is accountable, but we're here to encourage as well. And so, Lord, help us to encourage one another and just to be a blessing to one another. May you be glorified, Lord. May you the one that we are trying to glorify, and may that be done through our lives. And may you receive that glory from us this day, Lord. And thank you for your love and your care. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.